So I'm not talking about weight loss or intermittent fasting or anything like that. This is fasting for a spiritual breakthrough. Stay tuned. I'll be back in just a moment.
This is Nero Feliciano, and welcome to the All Things Life podcast. I'm a wife, a mom of four, and a cognitive psychotherapist. And I'm really excited to share these conversations and interviews with you that will hopefully help you live a healthier, fuller, and more peaceful life.
Happy Sunday, everyone. I hope you had a great Halloween. If you're listening to this the day after Halloween, a very different Halloween for us in this family of four kids. We dressed up. I bought candy. We met with our family, but not our typical, but that is 2020. And in the end, we all still had fun. It was a good day. Just goes to show there is still so much in life to be grateful for, even amidst all the changes we've had to make. So today I am talking about a topic that I often get a lot of questions about from friends and family, especially during this pandemic time when people find out you're not drinking alcohol for a period of time. They look at you like, what? Are you nuts? Which I have to admit, sometimes I feel that way, even though I only started this about a week ago. It's been trying. Not to say that I drink heavily, but certainly when your kids are homeschooling all the time, a little glass of wine at the end of the day can be delightful. So today I wanted to talk about the spiritual discipline of fasting. This is something that has become a regular part of my life, and I have seen some amazing things happen throughout the course of these experiences, these weeks or days that I've set aside to fast and pray and get connected with the Lord. And I just want to say, above everything else, just hearing from God, maybe not actually in the time of the fast, but following the end of a fast, has been reward enough to compel me to continue this. But in addition to that, I've seen pretty amazing things happen when I have fasted, and also when I've fasted with a group of people. I've seen amazing things happen for friends of mine who've committed themselves to fast. So today, because I am by no means the expert on this subject, it's just something that I've started to incorporate in my life over the past several years. So I asked a friend of mine who knows a lot more about this than I do to join me on the podcast today. And we are going to break it down for you. Exactly what is fasting? Why should we fast? How do we do it? So let me tell you about my friend, Sonia. She's originally from the Big Apple, but now she lives in Texas. Can you imagine a New Yorker in Texas? And she loves it. She is your everyday girlfriend, woman, as she describes herself. But let me tell you about Sonia, because I know few people who hear from the Holy Spirit the way Sonia does. Sonia always has these incredible words that come out through prayer for other people. And many of her words have been so pivotal in my life, just giving me new perspective, changing my direction, affirming what God has already told me. And she has so much wisdom. And she has committed her life to fasting at different times forever. And I believe what I'm seeing of Sonia, these giftings, her closeness with God, is also a product of that discipline. So she, in addition to being a teacher and a mentor, she has a heart for women in leadership, but she also has held several executive positions in Fortune 500 companies. This girl does it all. So I am excited to share with you our conversation on fasting. If you had any questions about fasting, hopefully this will provide you with some answers and some encouragement. So here's my conversation with my dear friend, Sonia Thomas. Sony in the house.
Woohoo!
Welcome to the podcast, Sonia.
Thank you so much for having me, Nero.
How's Texas?
It's good. It's good. Everything is bigger in Texas, they say, and it's the honest truth. It really is.
I know that. When I got out of the plane in the airport, I ran into, like, I swear he was like an 8-foot man. And he was the first person I saw in the airport. I was like, they're serious when they said that. So, okay, you are my fasting expert here. And anytime I've fasted, I've talked with you about it. I think most of the time when I fasted, we've done it together. Mm-hmm. Right. Yep. So let's talk about fasting, because there's so, anytime I'm fasting and people ask me, because, you know, when you're at a party and all of a sudden you're not drinking, people are like, what's going on? What's wrong? And I have to say that I'm fasting, and it's not like intermittent fasting or that kind of thing. And people are so curious. And there are many Christians who've been Christians their entire life who've never fasted. So, Soan, why do we need to fast?
So as you know, Nero, like, I am a huge proponent of fasting. And one of the things when it comes to especially a spiritual fast is it's developing that connection with God. And what comes with fasting is also prayer. And when we fast, we are developing our connection with God. And the way I look at it is it's that extra oomph that you need when you pray is to say, Lord, I'm praying for a breakthrough. I'm asking for a breakthrough. I'm asking for a miracle. I need to know your will. And so I'm spending this dedicated amount of time that I could spend on other things, but instead I'm spending that time with you because I really need to know your will. Mm. And that's really, you know, the real reason why you fast. And one of the things that I kind of connect it to is it's like having an antenna. Do you remember those antennas from back in the day? I'm sure our millennial generation are like, what are antennas?
Oh, my kids know, because my husband saves everything. We still have antennas. So yes.
Do they call it rabbit ears like we did?
Oh, maybe. They don't even know what to call it, but we have them.
Yeah. So when we think about prayer, prayer is this conversation that you're having with God and you're connecting with Him. When you're fasting, it's like you're readjusting the antenna so that you can get a better connection into hearing His voice. And that's what fasting does. It really puts us into alignment to really hear God's voice.
That's so great. And it works. And you and I can testify to the fact that it works, because we've done a fast every year in January. We do 40 days, right? In January?
21.
Okay. I think I've done 40 sometimes. And we're going to talk about the different types of fasting you can do. And we go in with the expectation that God is going to meet us. We go in with specific requests that we have for God, with the underlying motivation being we want to hear God's voice clearer. We want to draw closer to God, correct?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And I think one thing about when we fast and pray, a lot of times we want God to align to our agenda. Mm. But what it is that in that prayer and in that fasting and that dedicated time that we are spending with the Lord, we start to align with His agenda for our lives. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in the Word of God, we know that, you know, when Jesus was teaching how to pray, he says the prayer that we are all very familiar with, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And one of the lines he says, he's like, your kingdom come, your will be done. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when we're praying, it's not that we have prayer requests and we do bring that before the Lord. We do bring that to God, and He wants to hear our prayers. He wants to hear our desires, but He also wants us to be aligned with what His desire is in our lives. Yes. One of the things, right? And so one of the things is that, you know, in Jeremiah 29:11, which is a very, you know, well-known verse, it says, I know the plans I have for you. And it's plans for you to be prosperous, for you to have a better future and a life. He has a plan for us that we can't see in our everyday modern eyes. We can't see that. So what we pray for is the right now. And He knows if that prayer is going to be the best for our future. Mm. So when we pray, we should pray, Lord, this is our request. This is our desire. However, I need your will to be done, because whatever your will is, it's going to be the best for today and for the rest of my life.
So in that sense, you're saying the fast helps us to align our desires with God's.
Yes.
Our will with God. And I love that verse, you know, and I thought about it for years in the wrong way, I think. delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart.
Yes.
And when I started learning more about fasting, it really became clear that what it means is He will give you what you should desire. He will give you the desires He has for you, because they're far greater than what we could desire for ourselves. And some of that, I believe, won't make sense on this side of life. Mm-hmm. But we trust that God is good and His plans for us is good. Now, you know, like, I love my sugar and my candy and my and all of that. So if I'm fasting, there's and wine, you know. So if I'm fasting, it's because I've seen the results of fasting. But one of the things that convinced me when I first started fasting that this was something that God was calling not some of us to do, but all of us to do, was that Jesus fasted. You know, He fasted so many different times, but especially the 40 days in the wilderness. If mm-hmm. Jesus had to fast, how much more do we need to fast who don't have that connection with God, that power of God in us, the way Jesus did?
Exactly. And so it kind of reminds us of that extra, like, connection and that power that you have when you do fast. And one of the things that we remember, like you mentioned, He went to the wilderness and He fasted, and He did a full fast. Mm. And so I know later we'll talk about the different types of fasting, but He did a full fast. And during that time, the devil came to Him and tempted Him three times. And what He responded back was with the word. Mm. Because that connection to God was so great that when the enemy came with his negative comments and making Him doubt His authority that was given to Him, He was able to use the word of God as like His sword.
He weaponized the word.
Exactly.
Right. And even for us, when we do that, there's something happens. That word is filled with power. It has the power to change things, change our circumstance, change our mental state, our emotional state. So it's not just about reading words. There's something we release in the spirit realm when we use the word as a weapon. But you're absolutely right. And the funny thing is when I've fasted, I've actually, and maybe this is going to change as I go on in my life, I find that God meets me in really beautiful ways during that fast. But when I look at when Jesus fasted, it was hard. It looked like the whole time was hard. He was tempted. You know, even at the end of that chapter, it talks about the angels had to come and be with Him because it was so disturbing to Him what happened during that fast. So we can expect that there are going to be challenges when we're drawing closer to God. There are going to be challenges because the enemy doesn't want that for us.
Exactly.
He doesn't want us to step into that purpose and that vision that God has for us. So, Sohn, tell me some of the reasons that have led you to fast in your life. What's been going on in your life that has led you to say, okay, now is the time to fast?
I think that's a great question. I think that there has been quite a number of scenarios. One, like in terms of my career, when I needed to look for something new, maybe I was, you know, maybe very miserable in my job and I needed God to come through and give me a breakthrough. I have fasted over that. I have fasted over the future plans in terms of my marriage, my singlehood. At that time, I've fasted over even buying a home when I was stepping out in faith to really want to buy a home as a single woman and wasn't sure if that was the right thing to do and the timing around that, fasted for healing. So whether that was a personal healing or even for my mom who was very ill. And so I think there's been a myriad of reasons. And personally for me, I've been fasting for well over 10 years. And because of that, I have seen how God has strengthened my inner being because of those fasts.
I have similar stories, as you know, and situations. And I've fasted when I've needed an answer that I didn't have. I've fasted during transitions in my life. Actually, the amazing thing about what we're doing right now, Sonia and I are in the midst of a 3-week fast right now. It's not a complete fast. We'll talk about partial fasts in just a minute. But this past weekend, maybe it was this past weekend, right? Because I started this week.
Yes.
I really felt like God was saying fast, fast for 3 weeks. And Sonia and I had just studied Esther together, and we learned about Esther fasting and what that did, what kind of breakthrough that unleashed in her life and in the life of many people. And I got back on the phone with Sonia on Monday, because that's the days we talk and pray. And we do that fast every Monday. But this time I felt like God was calling me to 3 weeks. So as I was telling this to Sonia, she said, that's so funny because I felt the same thing a few days ago. So right now, the reason we're fasting is we both feel like we're in a transition. And when you know something is going to happen, and it can be a good thing or it can be something that maybe brings uncertainty, that's a great time to fast. Don't you think, Son?
Yes, absolutely. I think it's because you need that direction. And even if you don't know what the direction should be, it's that you have peace over the situation, that you know God is going to come through because that's who he says he is. Mm. And that you're creating that connection with him to hear his heart. Mm. So I think that plays a really big role. Yeah.
I was reading about Paul in Acts 9. He was fasting when God shared the assignment for his life.
Yes.
Peter was fasting when God gave him the new revelation to share good news with the Gentiles. So fasting can bring revelation. It can bring vision. It can clarify your purpose in your life. But also, we can fast, like Sonia said, for healing. We can fast when we have a child going through something. Oftentimes, it talks about fast for your families, because then we can establish what we call generational blessing. We lay a foundation for our family that has been built through fasting and that strengthening of our foundation in God. And that transcends your lifetime. That goes on for generations. So part of the reason why I fast is for my family. I got a lot of kids, so I want them to have that spiritual protection and foundation. I believe that my grandparents gave that to me as well. So, okay, let's talk about motivations for fasting, because I know when we fast in January, there is a little bit of motivation that is to take off the holiday cookies as well. Like, I'm not going to lie. Yes. It's absolutely a part of it. That helps motivate me. But that cannot be our primary motivation, correct?
Right. To lose some pounds is probably not the first motivation.
It's not. But like, as you said, for breakthrough, for vision, for just drawing closer to God, great motivations for fasting. And what I've also found is, you can fast, but like you said, it's as important to make the time for God, to be able to meet with God in prayer, to worship God in those times, to spend time in gratitude, and really listening for the voice of God. And sometimes that means sitting down with a journal and just saying, God, speak to me about something. And I know many people are listening to that thinking, I'm not going to hear anything. But you would be surprised when you really meet with God with that kind of faith and expectancy. God, speak to me. He will start to bring thoughts to your mind that will sound like they're your own voice. And sometimes it might be a memory or some words that you've heard, but he will speak and then confirm.
Exactly. And I think, you know, what you said about what motivates us, we have to take a kind of an inventory of what's going on in our life right now. What are the areas of your life that you are still waiting for an answer about?
Or something to happen.
Yes, right? For something to happen. Yes, you're waiting for something to happen. You have a question mark about, okay, what's the next place I need to get to? Do I need to do this? Am I concerned about anything? Those areas that you're just like, well, I know who God is, but I do want a deeper connection. I want to get to know him. And there's always some factor there that's involved in fasting. And, you know, to what you said, Nero, it's like really important because God does speak. I think we sometimes dismiss them as that, oh, you know, God has better things to talk to me about, or, you know, any of that. But God wants to talk to you about anything, you know, that you ask him. And I think one of the things that, especially when you do start fasting, is it is important to have like a journal, because you do want to write down the things that you do hear, because the things that you hear, it could be God. And you want to be able to kind of go back to that and say, okay, I did hear this.
let me write this down. Or I read a verse in the Bible and it spoke to me. Mm. And how did it speak to you? You write that down.
And sometimes you will fast with a request. And mm-hmm. if you don't get that answer, keep going. Keep going. Yes. God will show you something. I have yet to meet someone who's done a fast who's come out of it with nothing. I really have. And sometimes God will lay the foundation of something through that fast that he will bring to completion later on in your life. So we have to trust God with the timing of those things.
Yes. And, you know, I just want to remind of like that verse. It's in Jeremiah 33:3. It says, if you come and you pray to me, I will show you the hidden things. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so important because that's what prayer and fasting does. It unlocks those things that may have been hidden to you that he wants to reveal.
So we're going to talk about that in a minute. Some of the things that Sonia and I have both experienced coming out of different fasts. But let's just talk about the different kinds of fasts there are. So right now, Sonia, you and I are doing a partial fast. So that is you decide particular foods or drinks for a period of time that you want to give up. And Catholics are very versed in this for Lent. And so fasting is kind of like a Lent that you just decide when it is, or God moves you to decide when it is. So right now for me, my fast involves no sugar, no alcohol, which let me tell you, right around Halloween and right when my kids came home to homeschool for this next few weeks was not a good time for that. But like we said, when you start to fast, there will be resistance. There will be things that happen that will challenge your fast. And that is almost a great indication that there's something coming, that God, that you're in line with God because the enemy doesn't want it. So I've also given up, starting a couple of days, meat for the remainder of my fast, which is another 2 weeks. So that's the way that I'm doing it. And part of it, when I encourage my friends who have questions about fasting, I say to them, what is a sacrifice for you? What would be something that you would consider a sacrifice? Because you don't have to go without food or water and have that be a fast. I have a friend who's just giving up alcohol because that is a big sacrifice for her. I have another one who's giving up white carbs because that is a huge sacrifice for her. And then other ones who are modifying it in different ways. You can do a tech fast if you feel like social media is what takes up your time that you could be spending with the Lord, which let me tell you, I need to do that at some point too. That could be a fast. It is, and God knows your heart. God sees the sacrifice. It means something to God. So, Sonia, can you talk about some of the other fasts too?
Sure. So there's like a full fast. So if we want to talk about, like, you know, in terms of food, there's like a full fast, which is absolutely no food and it's liquid only, which obviously we would highly recommend for you to speak to your doctor before you do anything like that. There is a Daniel fast, which is what Nero and I have done in the beginning of the year. I really do like the Daniel fast because I still get to eat, which is important to me, but in a modified way. And the Daniel fast is taken after Daniel chapter 10, where Daniel was praying for a breakthrough. And in that breakthrough, he chose not to have any meat, any delicacies, no sweets, no wine, and really just have water, juice, and fruits and veggies.
No joke. It's hard. We've done
it. It's hard. It is hard. It is really hard. And it's really hard to find, you know, even juice at 100%. It's just hard nowadays. So
we ate beans, you know, brown rice, whole grains. Yep. And there are Daniel Fast cookbooks out. So if you're interested in the Daniel Fast, it is a powerful fast. It's 21 days. And there's many ways to go about it. So just look up the Daniel Fast online and you'll get a lot of info on it. Right. But it's great for breakthrough.
It is very much great for breakthrough. And then there is like the partial fast that Nero was saying, that, you know, you can do a fast if you want to give up one meal a day, or if you have decided you want to do it between a time frame, and you can do that. And the other parts of even a partial fast is also if you choose not to want to give up food, but you want to give up, like, maybe watching Hallmark movies, if that's your thing. I have a friend that she's addicted to Hallmark movies. So that's what she gives
you up. You live in Texas? I'm just kidding. People listen to Hallmark movies here too. They watch them. Yep.
And Noro, you had mentioned like a social media to give up Facebook, to give up Instagram, you know, those kind of things that take up our time that has become like an addiction or a necessity in our life, where nothing is more of a necessity than spending more time with God.
The Esther fast is 3 days. It's no food or drink. And that one, highly recommend. Don't even do it until you talk with the doctor, that your body is equipped to that. That's a tough one. And then Jesus did a 40-day fast, which was similar, right? No food or drink?
Yes, very similar.
Did he drink water? Mm-hmm. How did he survive?
I think he did have water. I have to go back and check that one.
I mean, he was Jesus, but I wouldn't recommend that for 40 days.
Right.
But anyway, and you know what's great? Sonia and I have been friends for a long time. She's actually my youngest sister's best friend, but like my youngest sister as well. And we support each other when we're going through fast. So sometimes it's great to get a buddy, get a partner who's also going through something, or who knows that you are and loves you and wants to support you. Yes. It makes such a difference. And I really believe there is power in collective prayer. God hears it and is pleased by it. And we've seen some great things come out of the times where we've collectively fasted together. Yeah. So Soane, can you share a story of something that's come out of a fast? Some of these things that have encouraged you to keep fasting at different times in your life?
Absolutely. So one of the ones that I really love to share is that I'm originally from New York, and you know, during a fast, I felt like the Lord was asking me to make a move. And in that fast was the transition to move down to Texas. So during my first kind of 6 months, I was going through this almost like a fight within myself. I was dealing with an unrest about, should I buy a home? And
because you're a New Yorker. I mean, Sonia, I'm joking. She's in Texas, but Sonia's like a Bronx New Yorker through and through.
Through and through. And, you know, if you hear me say certain words, like I can't say coffee, water, but still completely a New Yorker through and through. So, you know, when God asked me to make that transition to Texas, I just didn't feel that, oh, do I need to, like they say, put down roots here and really buy a home? Like, why can't I just be here for the reason you want me to be here, Lord, and kind of move on to the next phase? And there was this angst inside of me, like this, I felt like I was fighting with something about wanting to buy a home, and I just kind of didn't want to do it for the sake of just going through the motions. I would go and look at homes and come back to my 2-bedroom apartment and cry. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to do this. Like, why is this happening? Like, I just don't want to do this. And so I went back home to New York for the holidays, came back, and that January of 2013, I started the Daniel fast. So I started the fast for 3 weeks, and while I was fasting that first week, I heard the Lord clear as you talking to me, Noro, right now. I just heard his voice said, it's time for you to buy a home. Mm. And immediately I felt this burden that I had been carrying for months just lift. And then this holy indignation that I call it kind of came out, and I'm sort of sassy with the Lord.
Mm-hmm. So, and everybody else.
You know me so well. And I said, okay, God, I am fine if you want to buy me, I want you to buy me my house, Lord, but for me to buy this house, however, I don't want to go through the motions of having to deal with like the painting and fixing up a house, et cetera. I want a fully furnished home. Fully furnished home that I can take my 2-bedroom apartment in and just put it into the new house and call it a day. I don't want to think about it.
I love how you talk to God. I do. I love the conditions.
And then the Lord said to me, you'll get your home by March 31st. And I said, okay. And in my sassy pants ways, I was like, all right, whatever you say. And this continued on with the fast. Can I tell you that I heard anything else during that fast, during those last 2 weeks of the fast? No, not really. I just continue to just pray and, you know, put my prayer requests before the Lord about other things I was praying for. And so started the journey on looking at homes, because at that point, after that fast, I felt at peace that this was the right thing to do and that He had a purpose in it. And so I started looking at homes, and I will tell you, I looked at 43 homes. Mm. I think I drove my real estate agent crazy. And that year, Palm Sunday and Easter actually fell in the month of March. So Palm Sunday weekend, she calls me and she says, you know, I have a few homes. I want you to see another couple of them. And so she sends it to me. I look it up and I see this house and I'm like, I think this is my home. I just felt this peace when I looked at that home, just at the pictures. Mm. And I said, I think this is my home. That Sunday, we went to go and see the house, and I walked through the front door into the foyer, and I said, this is my home, and I love it. Mm. And I can't even tell you, Nora, like, I don't even know where it came from, but I just felt this peace when I walked in that this was my home. And so, long story short is, you know, in Texas, you can make a request for anything you want in the house. You can make a request, whether the seller acknowledges and wants to give you the things in the house based on the price, that's up to them. But you can make the request. So I made a request for a bunch of things, for about $50,000 worth of stuff in the house. And I was like, you know what, I'm just going to take my chance. Let's see. And about 2 weeks later, I get a phone call that said my loan was approved and the seller approved everything I wanted to purchase in the house. And immediately when I got that phone call, I heard, look at the date. Mm-hmm. And when I looked at the date, it was March 31st.
Oh my goodness.
And it was crazy because I walked into my home, and that was 7 years ago. I walked into the home and all I did was literally move all the furniture I had in my 2-bedroom apartment into the 2 rooms that were empty.
And everything else was done.
Everything was done. And when I asked the Lord, and, you know, to add to that, when I asked the Lord, Lord, I want a fully furnished home, He thought of everything that was even beyond what I was thinking. I was too busy thinking, can you just fill the room with like a bedroom set? Like, I'd be happy, you know? Mm-hmm. But He went to the detail of when I went to the garage after I moved in, never walked into the garage. But when I walked into the garage the day that I got the keys, He left even the ladder, the light bulbs, batteries, like the things that I needed that I needed in like 2 or 3 weeks because, you know, the light went out and I had bulbs already. Mm. You know, like the alarm, you know, fire alarm, the battery went out. I didn't have a ladder, but there was one already there. Like,
it's like God every detail.
Yes, every detail. And so when the word says that He does go before you, He really does go before you.
That's such a great story. And I love how God gives you dates. He doesn't give me dates like that, but God gives you dates and specifics. I love hearing your stories. I have a quick story to share too. And this also can speak to the timeline of fasts and why when this becomes a way of life and a practice that you do, you really do see God's hand move and the plans unfold. We had done a Daniel fast 1 year, Sonia. Mm-hmm. I can't remember how many years ago it was. But at that point, Ed was really unhappy in his job. There had been a lot of changes and a lot of promises that hadn't come through. And also just thinking about Ed's life, and I've talked about Ed many times on the podcast, my husband, he's worked his whole life. I mean, he worked 40 hours a week starting his freshman year in high school, went to Yale, had 3 jobs at Yale, put himself through med school. So he's worked so hard. And at that point, I was like, he's worked really way too hard to be unhappy the way he is right now. So I was praying for him, and I was praying for him at that time. So that was January. Come to the end of the year, he decides to leave that job and find another one. So at that point, we knew he was leaving this job, and he had another job he was going to that was part-time. He actually had 2 part-time jobs. So he was going to start working one, and the 2 part-time jobs would end up being full-time. So together. And the second job, he was saying, I'm going to start that right away too. So we get to January of the following year. And meanwhile, we start our next annual fast because we do this every January. And I was in the kitchen with him. And at that point, he had had a couple weeks off. And the reality of him not having a full-time job started to set in for me. And I looked at him and I said, okay, so when are you starting that second job? Because at that point, he was only working 2 days a week and he was home 3 days a week. And you know how that goes after we've all been in pandemic and working together all the time. Like, so when does that second job start, you know? And he said to me, it's not going to start for 3 months. And I said, why? And he said, because of licensing. He's a physician. He said to get credentialed and get on the insurances for this other state is going to take 3 months. So, and I got all mad. I was like, well, I thought you were going to start that process earlier, and started getting just a little bit heated with him. And he said to me, you know, I think we're going to be okay. Because I'm thinking, okay, do I need to go see more patients now to make up the difference? How am I going to do that? You know, our life is busy already as it is and very full. So I was getting fearful. And in that moment, he said, you know, I really do think we're going to be okay. I have a peace about this. And it's actually the first time in my life I think I'm going to have a little bit of a break.
Wow.
And when he said that, it just triggered something in my memory. So I went to my journal and I went back to the Daniel fast from the year before. And I had written down one of my prayer requests was that when Ed finally leaves his job, he would have a 3 month break where he was still getting paid. So what ended up happening, and I remembered that I had written that, it was his words that said, I'm finally going to get a break, that triggered it. It's amazing how we pray things to God and then we forget. And when he answers them, like we get pissed about it because we forgot it. Because it might look different than what we thought it would look like. So he actually did have a 3 month break, which then became almost a 6 month break. And what happened during that time was that another part-time situation he was working while he was working full-time at his job started to receive the payments coming in. He had not been paid for that for months for that job. So those payments started coming in that January, the January where he wasn't working full time. And I had actually put down a number of what I wanted him to receive during that time, how much. And he came to me just a couple weeks after and he said, I just received checks for this amount of money. And it was the money I had, it was the amount of money I'd written down in my journal during that Daniel fast the year before. And then it continued after that because God, you know, he gives us above what we can ask or imagine. So that 3 months where he was only working part-time turned out to be 6 months. And the whole time we were fine financially. And that is something we could have never imagined years before, thinking about my husband not working full-time, supporting a family with four kids in Connecticut. So it really was, I believe fasting makes a difference. We see these plans unfold, but we also have the ability to partner with God in that process, which is really amazing.
Yeah. And you know, it's beautiful. I mean, it's such a great story because it reminds me of like something that, you know, one time I was driving and the Lord totally just kind of put certain things into perspective. So it was like night and it was on a really dark road. And you know, they obviously you have your headlights on, but your headlights only allow you to see so far.
Mm-hmm.
And when he gives us a word like he shared with you, Nero, it was about something that was going to happen like a year or two later. And we are so conditional about when we pray that we only see what's in front of us. But God can see the darkness after that. He can see the light after that, you know, after the point of whatever our headlights can only see. And, you know, and God was saying like, you know, focus on the right now because I have your future.
I love that we can trust that God will take care of what we need because, you know, part of the reason that I'm fasting right now, it's not just for me. I have so many people in my life who need breakthrough. I am fasting because I am very torn by this election and it's making me anxious. So I feel like there is a piece of that that is making me fast as well. Just fasting for whatever the outcome is that it is what God wants in this. I know what I want, but I want to be open to whatever it is that God wants and is going to use. So I I felt like going into this fast, it was almost like God was saying, you thought you were fasting for something that you needed, but really mm-hmm. this is fasting for all of those around you who are going through something, who need a breakthrough. And I think that's as important a motivation to enter into a fast.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Because I think what prayer does is it encourages, right? It goes out. And so when we pray, like it goes into the atmosphere. And I really do believe that like when we pray that it's encouraging to other people, whether they know or not. And a lot of times like they can feel that. They can feel this overwhelming sense of like peace or happiness that they are being lifted up in prayer because of you. And so I love that. And I love that, you know, the word says, like in James, it says, you know, the prayers of a righteous man availeth much, right? So the prayers of the righteous, like he hears them. Mm-hmm. He hears our prayers and he loves it. And it's a sweet aroma to him. And so he wants us to pray. He wants us to fast. And one of the things that he says in Matthew 6:33, it's like, seek him first and everything will be added to you. So when we fast, it's because we're seeking him, because we want all those other things that we have been contending for, or, you know, really wanting in our life to be added to us. But the first and foremost thing is to put him first. And I think when we talk about our stories and we hear about these breakthroughs that we have prayed for, that we have seen happen, it's because we are putting him first and we're seeking his will first.
That verse you mentioned, the prayers of a righteous availeth much. Another translation of that verse is the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective.
Yes.
And I really have seen that through fast, how God uses those prayers, and they do become powerful and effective. We see the changes in them. And you're absolutely right just about trusting God with the timeline of those requests. Because if you come out of the fast and the only thing that you experience is being closer to God, that's actually enough. You know, that's more than enough to get you through whatever the next transition is, or the next phase of your life or purpose is. And you'll feel that when you get to that point. And also we wait expectantly to know that we're trusting God with that timeline. So Soan, do you want to just run through really quick, just a few things for people to keep in mind if they decide to enter into a fast?
Yes. So I know that's probably, you've heard us talk about fast and it's like, okay, well, how do I even begin? So one, start off slow. We are going, you're going to mess up and it's okay. Like there's going to be, you say that you're not going to have sugar and you're probably going to have a piece of chocolate and it's okay, right? Our God is not a legalistic God. He is looking at the condition of your heart. And if your heart is to honor him, that's what he's looking at. So start slow. Pick a day. Pick the type of fast you want to do. So are you doing maybe one day a week, or is it for a week, or just maybe a couple of hours? Whatever it is, just kind of set that tone of what you want to do. Number three, pick what is it that you want to fast. Is it food, or is it social media? Is it something that you want to kind of give up during that time period? Four, target your fast. What is it that you're specifically praying for? And remember that whatever you're specifically praying for, say, Lord, as long as it's in your will, whatever is in your will, that's what I want in my life. And target your fast and ask, because when we ask, we receive. And number five is, okay, now what do I do? So you decided you want to fast. Now what do I do? So in that time that you're taking a part in your day to really pray, is pray and start reading the Bible. And if you're wondering, okay, where do I start? I tell people, you know what, start in the book of Psalms. It's the easiest, and start with chapter one and just start reading. And there may be verses that jump out at you, and pray for those verses. And ask the Lord to talk to you as you read that chapter. Maybe he'll speak to your heart, and write it down. Like we mentioned before, write down what you feel like that chapter or that verse is talking to you about, and put that prayer request before the Lord. And if you're not even sure about how do I even start my prayer, just start with thankfulness. Sometimes that's the easiest thing to be grateful for. Just thank God for your life. Thank him for another day that you can wake up. And start with thankfulness. And from there, like the other words will flow in your time with the Lord. And just let him be open. You be open. Let your heart be open to what he wants to do. in your life during that time.
I would just add, some days you're going to be great. You'll feel really close to God, and some days you won't feel like God has anything to do with you. And that's totally normal. You might have no energy. Your spirits are down. Yes. But just remember what we said, when you are aligning yourself with God's will, there is going to be this resistance, this warfare. Yes. So just press through that and do the things that you know bring you closer to God. Think about times where God has showed up for you in your life, or maybe showed up for people you know in your life, and that will help you hopefully to press on. Soane, thank you so much.
Thank you.
So good. And we'll have to come back on at some point and talk about what we experienced at the end of this fast that we're doing right now.
Yes, that would be great.
Because we are expecting. So expecting good things, expecting God to move. So we hope that you will try this, that you will think about this and pray about it, and ask God if he's calling you to this now, if there's an area in your life. As Jesus said, this kind comes out only with prayer and fasting. So there are certain things we know we need fasting to see come to completion, to see happen. And we believe that for you in your life as well. And we really do believe this for you, that when you are stuck, when you are in a situation where you don't know which path to take, when you're waiting to make a decision, or you just feel distant from God, fasting can be the key to unlock opportunity, to unlock the way, the answer, the healing that you need. So I hope this has blessed you. I hope that you are encouraged to try this. And as my friend Sonia said, go slow, start small. Unless you feel like God is calling you to something more, definitely pray about it and ask God to confirm if that is the path he's calling you to take. And just listen, because oftentimes God will say it more than once to confirm it to you. I hope you have a great day. I hope you have a great week. And please, friends, stay prayerful for our nation in this upcoming election. Hopefully we will all have a decision and be able to move on in peace. That is my prayer. Be well, live full, and I'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening today. And if you have a second, go on the Apple Podcast app and rate this podcast. I want to know what you liked and what you didn't like and what you want more of. And connect with me. I'd love to hear from you on any of my social media, at Nero Feliciano, the Incidental Therapist on Facebook, and Nero Feliciano on Instagram. And you can also connect with me through my website, Nero Feliciano. So until the next time, have a great day, be well, and live full.